Cloudy and Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, Dr. Drew, not here tonight. Phone number 1-800. Oh, it's going to be a long night. LOVE191. I knew I shouldn't have blown that guy right before I went on the air. Dr. Drew is in Toronto filming a movie with the Olsen twins. He is playing their father. So that should be an endless source of entertainment for us when he returns, if he returns, if they don't kill him because he's a horrible actor. Dr. Michael, who is a friend of Dr. Drew's, an associate, is in here tonight. He's a psychologist. Yes?
That's true.
Yes. And he will be in here basically filling Dr. Drew's medium-sized loafers, and I'm sure doing a wonderful job. But we want to steer the questions toward the psychological tonight and not toward the medical. So that's all right. We end up going there anyway, and I've had an ass full of the gonorrheas and the trichinosises and all the other crap that goes on inside the flora and the fauna and the vaginas freak me out. Taproot. Our guest tonight, Taproot, has not been on this show before. We were surprised. Producer Ann and myself were both assuming you'd been here and been wonderful, but we'll bust your cherry tonight. We have Stephen Richards and Jared Montague.
Hail.
Yes. Thank you for having us. Yes.
Good to have you guys. And,
what's happening, guys?
Sorry you got the substitute doctor.
We met earlier. We're doing all right.
You guys cool?
Yeah.
All right. He get you on the sofa or?
A little bit. He's a hockey fan, so that goes over well with Steven.
I missed that part.
Yeah. Oh, really? Oh, yeah. You guys are from Michigan, right? So you got to love hockey.
Yep.
Got to love hockey.
Except he doesn't root for the Red Wings. He roots for the Blackhawks because he was born in Chicago. So that's kind of weird.
Yeah. Michael over here?
No, Steven. I'm a big time Kings fan. And the Ducks hockey really period, turned though, me on this last round. So.
All right. Pretty exciting. All right. Yeah. Mom from North Hollywood, so we don't have hockey.
No hockey.
No.
Not even
no
inline
hockey.
Stuff, yeah.
Look, anywhere you got to drive is like, you know, everything was just ditch and smear the queer. Those were the big sports. Like, here's the deal. Like, the parents in North Hollywood, like, look, you're 8. Here's a utility ball. Come back when you're 17. So just go run around on the blacktop and try to hit someone with the utility ball. See if you can kill him with it, son. And like I said, come back for dinner.
Great parenting stuff.
Really? Yeah. It's great. It's great. All right. So anyway, Taproot here. The CD is called Welcome. We're going to hear a couple of songs off of that. Also, I'll give you guys some dates where you can find them. Well, actually, they'll be out in Los Angeles at the Henry Fonda Theater on the that's on Sunset, right?
No, actually, it's
is it Cahuenga or whatever?
Yeah,
right
kind
off
of
the 101, like before Barham.
Oh, and there's a there.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a new theater. Right. I think they're just starting to have bands there.
I'm hip now. Yeah, they don't normally have metal acts or at least rock acts like yourselves over there, do they? They put on like Pippin and stuff they do over there.
We're the groundbreakers then. We're going to change all that.
Well, go see it because after Taproot, they may not have that anymore. Also, they're going to be in San Francisco at Slim's and at on the 15th and on the 17th, they'll be at in Portland at the Roseland Theater. And the guys are going to be in here all night. We'll answer all the questions. Everyone good? We'll go to the phones?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I'm just going to go. Drew usually picks the calls. So since he's not here, I'll just go in numerical order. Brittany?
Hi.
You're 17?
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
Hi, Brittany. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Pretty good.
My problem is that my parents are too overprotective. They won't even let me go to school.
No, why won't they let you go to school, Brittany?
Because I'm on homeschool, but I'm not really on homeschool anymore.
What do you do?
Nothing.
I mean, you don't have to study?
No.
Are they religious?
No.
Why have you gotten into trouble at school?
Well, I got expelled once for fighting.
That's a start.
It kind of makes sense. Your parents are concerned about you if you get in trouble at school for fighting. Have you gotten other kinds of trouble?
No.
If you got expelled from school as opposed to suspended, you really don't have any school to go back to, though, do you?
Right, exactly.
So now you're home.
Yes, and
so maybe your parents aren't homeschooling you. It's like saying I got fired from my job, so I'm home. I'm home employed.
You're doing a home job, right?
No, you're not. You're beating off and watching TiVo.
That's right.
Well, yeah, but I'm home employed. No, you got fired. You had to go home.
No, I was
doesn't mean
home.
Your roommate pulled you out of your job and told you to go home.
I was actually on homeschool, but then I got out because my parents couldn't afford it.
Okay.
Uh huh.
And
what do you do? Like, when you're homeschooling, when you cut, do you go to school? Like, I would imagine that'd be the logical place to go. Like, yeah, I cut school, I'm in school.
No.
Parents, don't tell them I'm in biology studying my ass off.
I'm at the library.
Shh. All right, so you're depressed, right, Brittany?
Yes.
Okay. And you want to know what to do next. Well, you're 17, right?
Yes. So, I'm like 3 years behind.
3 years behind. Well, listen, forget about it. Education's not for you.
Uh-oh.
You got to get a trade. You understand?
Yeah.
How about, what are you good at? Do you you go to, like, stringing beads or something like that?
No, I build, like, model houses with popsicle sticks.
Okay. Mm. All right.
I'll buy one right now.
It's a huge industry right now.
Really?
Have you ever talked to your parents about what your interests are and what you need to do?
Yeah, but they keep saying I need to finish school first, but they won't get me back in homeschool because they can't afford it.
Quick question. Are these popsicles that you eat, or do you buy the sticks?
I buy the sticks.
I see, because that's kind of a poser builder. To me, I got to see them. And same with toothpick houses. You have to have had used those popsicle sticks. I want them to smell like a wine punch when I sniff the house. You see what I'm saying?
You want to see old pieces of food on the toothpicks and stuff like that?
That's right. That's what I want.
Bacteria
I want
growing.
The stained sticks, not those ones you buy at the store. So Brittany.
Yeah.
Okay, things don't sound great for you, but it does sound like maybe your parents care about you more than you think. You just doesn't seem that way right now. They do seem kind of concerned about you.
Yeah.
I
don't know how I'm going to finish school, though, because they say they can't afford it, and I've offered to get a job, and they say, no, I'm not ready, and so what can I do?
All right, but you want to finish school, right, Brittany?
Right.
Okay. Your parents, they're not going to bring you back to school because you've been expelled, right? And you can't talk with them or go see a counselor or someone to talk about these problems with your parents?
No, I've talked to them about it. They keep saying that they're going to bring me back into school, but it doesn't
All right, happen. Okay. Well, I want you to push the issue with your parents. You need to be going back to some type of school. It'd be good for you to finish high school, obviously. If not, you can just go
to work. Yeah, but if you're going to finish when you're 28, don't bother. I mean, you got to get a job.
Still 17 now. You're 3 years behind?
Yes.
Well, how come you're 3 years behind? It sounds like you're really behind.
Because they put me on homeschool in 10th grade, and I was on it for a couple of months, and then since they weren't making the payments, then they kicked me out.
Of homeschool.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Brittany.
Yeah?
Look, what's your dad do for a living? Does he make any money?
Well, he used to be a computer programmer, but now he's out of his field.
Okay. All right, Brittany.
Yeah?
How about you? I think you need... Would your parents let you get a job?
No, I've offered to get a job, and they've said no.
Okay.
How does it work out here?
I wish we could do... Look, I'm going to freeze you like Walt Disney's head, all right? And I'll thaw you in about 8 years when I come up with an answer. I don't know what to say. If your parents won't let you out of the house, you're just going to have to... Just lie low. Don't get pregnant. Don't get fat. And the second you turn 18, tell them to blow you and walk out the front door and go get a job at a Blockbuster. That's all. When are you going to be 18?
In 2 months.
2 months. You can do that kind of time standing on your head.
Yeah, but if I do that, they'll kick me out.
Good. Let them kick you out. You get a job. Here's the thing. Here's what I want to say to everybody. Everyone always talks, everyone has to be better educated. Some people, education's just not for them. I mean, let's face it. Everyone I knew, education was not for them. It was a waste of time. Me and all my friends should have been learning a trade from 15 on. We should have been pipe fitters. We should have been welders. We should have been electricians. We should have been framing condos at 16, 17, 18, so that when we were 18 and a half and our wicked stepmoms kicked us out,
we could have got
a gig instead of nothing. We all just cleaned carpets. I mean, she's not a good student. She needs to learn something. It's too bad her parents are holding her down. All right, I'm out of wind.
Maybe she could be a boxer, though.
She could box.
Did she win the fight?
Yeah. There's a lot of female boxers out these days. Yeah.
I think you really need to talk with your parents about what's going on. Obviously, you've been expelled. You'd have some major problems. They're keeping you at home, and they won't let you get any friends or take a job. And they're probably really worried about your behavior, and there's probably something you're not talking about. And if you can get real with that at some point in your life, get some counseling. And if school isn't working out for you and you do turn 18, think about getting a job and getting on your own two feet.
That's so what you need to
you
do.
You
got to
get a little more assertive in that situation.
You parlay that love of popsicle stick architecture into an empire. You know what I mean?
That
you start off with one bedroom popsicle stick structures. Eventually, it's condos and it's high rise luxury apartments. Next thing you know, it's
creative arts.
It's commercial space. It's office buildings. It's lofts. You're building wharfs out onto the pier. I mean, huge internet. You're going over to Iraq and rebuilding with popsicle sticks. It's endless. It's
all
endless.
All kinds of things with popsicle sticks.
Becky?
Yeah.
You're 15?
Uh huh.
What's up?
Well, I'm bi, and my best friend knows this, but she doesn't know that I have a crush on her, and I don't know if I should tell her or not.
What makes you think you shouldn't tell her?
What? I can't hear you.
What makes you think that you shouldn't tell her?
Well, I don't know how she would take it, how she would react or whatever, and I don't want to lose her as a friend if she'd freak out or whatever, so I don't know if I should tell her.
How old is she? 15?
She's the same age.
And so do you think she has any interest in you?
I have no idea if it's more than just friendship with her.
Well, you don't get any kind of vibe one way or the other?
I can't tell. I have no idea.
Has she ever talked about girls?
No.
So, I mean, does she talk about guys?
Yeah.
Okay, then she's probably not into you. I mean, yeah. She's into guys,
it seems
right?
Like one of those things where if you really want to try to tackle it, if you kind of vocalize it, it might kind of scare her away and you might lose her as a friend. But if you guys are just kind of hanging out one night and you know, kind of try to put a move on her and then she kind of freaks out, you can just play it off like you were just joking or playing.
Yeah.
And then just kind of see how she reacts that way instead of, like, trying to vocalize it, I would guess.
Okay.
I do that now, too. Except for I'm married, so it's kind of weird. Like, hey, no, I mean, we're pals. It's cool. I don't want to ruin it.
Well, you got to think about the friendship and whether you're going to freak her out by telling her you're bi or have homosexual feelings towards her. And you might want to just really think about the friendship instead of your sexual attraction towards her. And you develop that friendship more and maybe try and think other ways.
Boring. Where's Drew? That's horrible advice. No, what you need to do is go camping and pack plenty of wine coolers. Because I guarantee, women these days, they're pliable, they're flexible. Like back in my day, they were either, you know, lesbian or they were straight. Now everyone just kind of just a reed blowing in the sexual wind. That whatever direction it blows, that's the way they'll bend. Becky?
Yeah.
All right. I kind of agree with Michael. Yeah. But I don't think this one's going to work, because I think she would have presented herself as at least sort of bi curious by now. But why don't you, like, put your big toe in the pool and test the waters by saying, like, you do that thing, like, where you go, like, oh, man, I heard about these. Ew. You do that whole thing, and they go, yeah, I don't know, I would try. If you can get that kind of answer.
Okay.
Like, yeah. I mean, we're guys. We all did that with our buddies when we were 16. Like, yeah. I wonder what a guy's mouth would feel like on my nuts. Ew.
I don't know about that.
All right, Stu. You're cool. Oh, camping. Yeah. No. They got the Rocky Mounted ticks out there. We're going to cancel that. No, you can fish around a little with a girl, though. Girls aren't as smart as guys. They don't know. They don't know when you're having one of those fishing expeditions.
Yeah, but she might lose the friendship and freak her out if she's going to talk about her sexual impulses towards her and her attraction. But you can check it out depending on what kind of friend she is to you and how interested you are in having a relationship with her. So
how many people you know since have you have any friends since you were 15? You got guys still in your life?
Absolutely.
All right, so you're glad you didn't make that move?
That's right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Smart. So you bit your lip and you move forward.
That's
smart.
Right. That's right. Friends are hard to find. So if she's a real good friend for you, you want to be cautious and you're not going to want to sort of go with all your sexual impulses towards her. And
Now you can find a dude on any corner. Aaron?
Hi.
You're 19?
Yes. Hi, Steve. Hi, Jared.
Hi.
Hi, Aaron.
Dude, it's like...
Is this Aaron? Yeah, Aaron.
You guys know Erin?
Yeah, we do. She is our literally biggest fan.
All right.
Uh-oh.
Listen, she's hyperventilating. Check it out.
Are you...
I have to write down questions so I wouldn't remember. I have to ask you,
serious questions, right? Okay.
Go ahead.
Dude, you're the best band in the world.
True.
Are we going to see you on Thursday at the Henry Fonda Theater?
Of course. Dude,
excellent.
So everybody go see Tapper Thursday. It's best live show ever. Okay.
Oh, thanks, Aaron.
I don't know if we can handle the question if it gets a little weird because we know you too well.
What?
Yeah, this kind of goes back to that thing. She's almost too good of a friend now. So,
where did you guys meet?
I'm a friend. God, I can't be your friend.
Whatever. You're our friend now. Actually, our manager runs a thing called Streetwise, and she's the head of our street team out here. So, you know, she just kind of helps promote us, and we just kind of met her at a show like a long time ago. Yeah.
She's the best band. Okay.
Hey, Aaron.
Yeah.
You live in Studio City?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love
my old stomping ground. What's that?
I just moved here.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Okay.
Around Ventura there somewhere?
Ventura and Coldwater.
Smart.
Yeah.
You stay near that Ventura.
Yeah.
How's your horses doing?
You got a horse?
Yeah. I just sold him, actually. Thank you for asking.
Yeah?
I can't believe
of course.
That.
What'd you get for that horse?
I got a lot, actually. My horse came from Holland, and I got him for really cheap, and then I sold him for, like, 3 times as much.
How much?
I'm not going to say. It was a lot.
Why? I don't want to. What?
Well, like,
$1,000
horses,
bucks?
Like, my horse, I gave the girl a deal. But, like, horses, like, I was riding go for, like, $50,000.
Jesus
I'm
Christ.
Not
wow.
Is your dad rich?
Have, like, jumpers from Europe. They're crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got a sister? Or
do I?
What's going on? Yeah.
No.
Is your dad rich?
My rich? No. I just got a cheap horse. I was lucky.
You're 19. You can't have a horse. I didn't have a moped when I was 19. How do you have a horse?
That's why I had to sell them, because I couldn't afford them anymore. I was very sad.
All right.
Okay.
So now you're rich. You got 50 G's in your pocket. You're taking me out to dinner on Thursday.
My horse, we gave him as a deal to somebody.
All right.
Because,
all right. Okay. Now I'm bored of the horse. Off to the glue factory.
No.
Yeah.
God.
Oh, yeah. That's why they bought him. For meat.
No,
meat and hoof oil.
No, they're going to kill you.
All right. Hey, okay. Aaron.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see you on Thursday, right?
Can I ask the band a question?
Go ahead.
Okay. When are you guys planning on hitting the studio again for your next album?
Actually, we're moving out here October 1st, and we're gonna go home for all of September and kind of jam a little bit and write some, and then we're going to be renting a house out here and kind of just jamming and writing, so... Yeah, so I'm sure we'll see you every Monday and Tuesday night at, the Troubadour or whatever.
I'm so excited. Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Aaron.
Jeez. Thanks, Aaron.
Giddy.
Yeah.
She, who's bigger, her or the horse?
No, she's a good-looking girl.
Good-looking girl?
Yeah.
Really? All right. Well, a little something for Taproot to tap when they're out here.
I think her head would explode if anything like that ever happened.
So you guys are going to maintain the friendship, right?
Yeah,
there
that's
you
right.
Go. Okay, it's like our last call.
Right. All right, let's hear something from Taproot. That's my idea. I think let's see, I got it written down here. Oh, yes, it's off of Welcome, and it's called Poem.
Woo!
Overbearing panic attack, entrenching my veins, in an hour I'll be okay. I pray this pain won't go away permanently someday. Drenching my brain, I hope you'll be okay someday, so I can say that you moved on in the right way.
whistle is a poem to myself. It helps me to lay out in case of fire. Break the glass and move on into your own. That song is a poem to myself. It helps me to lay out in case of fire. Break the glass and move on into your own. Your
Yeah, Taproot, everybody, in studio tonight. Also, Dr. Michael filling in for Dr. Drew, who's in Toronto doing an Olsen Twins movie.
Nice.
Yeah.
Right on.
We're going to, let's see, we'll take a little break. When we come back, I think we'll speak to, let's see, really likes girlfriend, is super violently abusive, molested by neighbor, can't you miss a period? We're going to speak to someone who's not on the screen right now, because these calls suck. Or, if we do talk to someone who is on the screen right now, I, through my mastery of the language, will form a great and entertaining call out of it. Kirsten?
Yes.
Kirsten the dude?
Yes.
Oh, all right. Well, that was a bad example of what I'm going to do. That's an example of what I'm not going to do when we come back after this. Hey, buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Michael. Not Dr. Drew. Again, he's shirked his duties.
You are missing Drew, aren't you?
I was getting angry at Drew because here's the arrangement we have worked out.
Let's hear about the arrangement.
When I'm gone, the show's gone. Like first off, we get paid the same, which is an outrage to me. I just get paid 1,000 times more than him. 1,000 times. And Drew's like, I'm a doctor. I have a degree. I go, you make more than Jerry Seinfeld? And he's like, well, no. And I go, shut up. That's how it works. Okay, number one. Number two, when I'm not around, we just run best of. When he's not around, I got to come in and do the show. Not that I'm not delighted to be here. But
I kind of get it now.
He's getting paid the same amount as I'm getting paid right now. That son of a bitch.
And you got to work when he's away.
Right.
But
this
when
is
you're
grueling.
Away, he gets
this
to do reruns.
This is grueling work.
Grueling.
I got to drink this coffee and press a button and make jack-off jokes. I mean, this is brutal.
I can tell you're sweating on that.
That's right. Stephen and Jared are both here from Taproot. Welcome is the name of the CD. These guys are going to be out at the Henry Fonda Theater out here on Thursday, and then it's off to San Francisco and Portland on Friday and Sunday. We'll hear something else from Taproot in the 11 o'clock hour, and we'll just get back to the phones and try to think where we left off. All right, well, we'll talk to Kirsten. Kirsten the dude?
Yeah.
All right. Who's your dad, Johnny Cash?
No.
All right. Well, why would you name your kid Kirsten that way? What kind of cruel joke is that?
Cultural thing.
Cultural?
What kind of culture, Kirsten?
Dutch.
Dutch?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. All right, but you can call yourself Kerr, right?
No. I just go with the same name.
Okay. All right. We couldn't hang. But what's up?
My parents found out I was engaged tonight. It's been about 3 months since I got engaged, and mm-hmm. They want me to break it off because I'm not able to support myself, they say. But I have a job and...
Can't support himself?
Oh, can't support himself, uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 19 years old and they have guardianship because I'm still in high school and they have to have it or else they pay for high school, so...
What's and they say that... everybody in high school into their later years?
Later years, I don't know.
Hey, why are you still in high school?
Just got to get some more credits, finish up.
Did you have any trouble in school at all, yeah. Kirsten?
No, just some bad grades for a while.
Is there a reason why you had those bad grades? Is that part of why your parents don't think you can support yourself and that you get some troubles?
Part of it. And I mean, I'm working fast food, so they think it's like not enough to buy and stuff. And they just think I'm not old enough and I'm 19 and Indiana's 18 years old.
Right. You're right.
You're probably old enough, but you might not be ready to make that kind of commitment to a relationship. Have you thought about that?
You're working at Arby's and you're in high school. You want to get married?
Well, it's not planned for a couple more years yet.
Is your fiancé rich?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't think there's any problem right now if you're just engaged. Yeah. I mean, congratulations. Enjoy your relationship with the girl you love and don't, you know.
Yeah, why you got to
do
anything?
Anything drastic like get married tomorrow in Vegas and blow all your money away, you know?
Kirsten, what's your fiance's name? Mark?
Jenny.
Is it a chick with a dude name? Or, so I think that would be kind of funny. That's Mark and Kirsten. No, Kirsten's a dude and Mark's a chick.
Yeah, it's Jenny.
Oh, Jenny?
Jenny. That sounds like a normal name.
That's not funny. That could have been funny. It would have been funny if you would have found a Stevie. Or, yeah, Pat would good. Even
Billy
Terry
Joe.
Would suffice, you know.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Kirsten.
Yeah.
You listen to your parents. Don't piss them off. You're still living at home. And as far as the marriage thing, so fine, you get married. Just don't talk about it, and you'll do it in a few years.
Totally agree with Adam. That's really
I mean, let me say this. I got to give this speech like once a week.
Okay.
Don't screw with your captors. You know what I mean? I mean, if you're look at living at home as being in prison, and you have a release date. And that release date could be 18, could be 18 and a half, whenever you get a job, whenever you go off to college.
Right.
But that is like, it's like the warden. Why F with the warden? Why piss him? You want to be in your cell being hosed down and getting put on bread and water, getting put in lockdown? Like, no, you want the warden to love you so you can shoot hoop and make shivs and shop and work in the laundry instead of being in solitary. You know, that's what you want. And the warden is like your dad and your stepmom or whoever it is. And everybody who's 17 and a half is pissed off at their dad and they're pissed off at their stepmom and they want to go at it. And all it is more friction and more confinement. And more restrictions. Just kiss some ass. Make them think you like them. Make them think you're a good person, a trustworthy person. Whatever you're doing, you'll be running a meth lab out of your basement, but just don't let them know. Let them trust you, and then you go off to college and you OD.
Right, it's the most important relationship
that
you have.
That's really the plan.
And I agree with that. The most important relationship you have, and you got to keep that relationship strong, and you got to communicate with them. And they got some concerns about you and making an engagement plan, although it's going to be in a couple of years till you get married. But I think you really got to consider what your parents are telling you, and maybe you aren't really ready to move on.
And
maybe that's what they're telling you.
Don't piss off the people that are paying for everything, because then they'll come down on you. Reagan?
Hi.
Hi, Reagan. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
All right. What's going on with this one? You're 18. What's going on?
Okay, if I'm with the guy, the only time I can orgasm is if he's, like, inflicting pain.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like if you were, like, choking me or...
Yeah, that's actually called masochism and sexual disorders. And has that ever caused any specific problems? I mean, it sounds like maybe you need to be hyperstimulated, but it also sounds like you're engaging in some pretty, dysfunctional, possibly a disordered behavior. Have you thought about that?
Kind of.
She's calling the show, so she's probably ran through her mind, yeah.
Can I take over for Drew for a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
Were you molested as a child?
No.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I gave it a shot. Hey, that's what Drew would have said. Now, you know what Drew would have said? Drew would have said, were you ever physically abused? Did your dad beat you or spank you or anything like that?
No, not at all.
Boy, that Drew's an idiot. He is 0 for 2. Shut up, Drew. Really? Nobody did that when you were a kid, huh?
Not at all, no.
So your parents never laid a hand on you?
Nope.
When was your first sexual experience? Like, has this been an interest of yours for a long time since you started, or has it gradually gotten more severe?
It's gotten more severe. Like, the past year has been, like, pretty bad.
What kind of pain's inflicted on you?
It's like, if I have no control, then... I can orgasm, but if he lets me have any control, like, whatsoever.
Hmm. Were your first sexual experiences related to this type of behavior?
No, not at all.
All right, wait a minute. I got to ask some questions, because this isn't making sense, not adding up. Where's your dad?
At home.
At home?
Yeah.
That's what you call prison, home?
No.
No. He's at home with your mom?
Yeah.
What's he do? Something with a forklift?
He owns a construction business.
Aha! I knew I didn't like this guy. And does he drink?
Nope.
All right. You never saw him getting, like, blowouts with your mom? How about him and your mom? Did they get in any big fights?
No, they've never fought in front of us.
Never fought. Your dad's a good guy. You love him very much.
So-so.
What's the matter?
I'm not sure.
Well, why wouldn't you like him? I mean, he never raised a hand to you, never molested you. Seems like a decent guy.
I don't know. I don't talk to him, I guess. But
why not? He doesn't pay attention to you?
Huh?
He doesn't pay attention to you?
Not really.
But does he have a brother that he likes more?
I have a brother and three sisters.
Mm-hmm. All right, so there's five of you. So maybe feel like you're getting lost in the mix a little bit?
What's your birth order, Reagan?
Huh?
What's your birth order? When were you born in relation to your siblings? You're the oldest?
Yeah.
All right. All right, so listen, there's a handful of people that are just into what I lovingly refer to as rough trade. Uh-huh. And they just enjoy it. I mean, listen, it's a matter of degree.
It is a matter of degree.
Most women enjoy a little tap on the ass. Let's know they're alive. There's nothing wrong with that. And sometimes it gets to the point where, you know, you got the phone cord around their
and
neck.
And you're actually being abused.
Take the life out of them.
Yeah.
But you're not one of those people. You just like it. You like the tap on the ass, but he's not leaving welts on you, is he?
The more pain, it's getting kind of problematic for you.
All right, so listen, you're calling because you think it's a problem. Maybe it's going down a road that's gathering up a little momentum. Maybe you ought to reel it in a little bit.
Is this one person that it's gotten more severe with, or have you gotten like this with other partners?
Oh, it's like I had a boyfriend and he kind of freaked out about it, so. I kind of have to, explain the guys, but most of them freak out.
All right, let me say something. I got to say this. I hear something in your voice. It's screwed. There's more going on than meets the eye. I don't know what went on at home. I'm not sure what your beef is with your dad. There's something going on here. I hear that little girl voice. Something up. When did you lose your virginity?
I was 15.
How old was the guy?
He was 17.
And nothing before that?
Nope.
No trauma of any kind?
No.
All right. All right, well, then stop it. See, these people, they try to outsmart me by going, I got to keep, no, nothing, no alcohol, no physical, no sexual abuse. Okay, then stop. Then you can stop. I mean, here's the deal. If your dad ritualistically abused you your whole life, then this has now been carved in your brain with a wood burner, and it's going to be hard to get out. Like, I can't just say, hey, just knock it off, because it's never going to work. It's going to be years of therapy, and even then, all you're going to be able to do is maybe control it. Doesn't mean it's still not going to be lurking in your brain somewhere. But hey, if everything was great, and then you had an ideal childhood, and no one raised a hand to you and all that, and this is just a path you're going down, then stop it. It's sort of like saying, I'm getting into drugs, but I don't have the alcoholic gene or anything. I'm doing a little more coke each weekend. Okay, then stop.
And stop it or find a way to do it with adequate support or counseling. And it could certainly become a big problem for you.
And, also, I think when it comes to sexuality, people sort of think, like, hey, this is my thing. You know, like, hey, I'm a 43-year-old guy, likes 9-year-old boys. Hey, it's my thing. You know, it's just what I like, or I like getting my ass whipped when I'm having. Yeah, it's just, that's my thing. So what can you do? Well, what you can do is not do it. I mean,
try to find alternative ways to increase your pleasure during sexuality, improve your intimacy with your partner, and try to get away from some of the.
I'm not saying never do it. I mean, you want a 9-year-old boy every once in a while,
And obviously, probably stay more away from the choking and more towards the slapping on the ass and the hair pulling. I would say
that's right.
having rough sex. I mean, you really got to consider whether that's really an intimate relationship or she's getting involved in an abusive relationship, and this has become a pattern, like Adam's saying, and it just. Stop it, find a way out of that and develop other relationships. And maybe it is some about her partner where this guy's really wanting her to involve herself in some sadomasochistic relationships. And she needs to learn to assert herself and say no to that type of behavior. It can develop into a pretty pervasive pattern.
Yeah. All right, well, let's take ourselves a little break. We got a question for the band. We want, I got Tim over here. Tim, you want to suggest to your fiance that she needs to wash herself down there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Smelly feet, huh?
I've tried this before.
You tried calling this, or you calling us, or telling her?
Both.
All right.
What happened last time you told her?
Yeah, why are you going back to the well? Obviously, it didn't work last time you called.
Well, it's like everything I suggest, she keeps giving me these, medical excuses, like it's going to get infected, or I can't use soap.
Hold on a second. He's talking about going to the coin-op car wash and taking the high-pressure nozzle and actually putting it in.
That was our last caller, Adam.
No, this is she's talking about infection because he's talking about, you know, douching with a seltzer bottle, not you know, using a wash rag. We'll get to the bottom of this, Tim. Hey, one of the things I just want to say before we go to break is, you know, when women got a little scent going on down there, it's not like your armpit. It's not because you're not using a wash rag. It's because they might have an infection or a little growth going on down there. All right, Dr. Michael sitting in for Dr. Drew, doing a fantastic job tonight.
Thanks, Adam.
Stephen and Jared both here from Taproot, and we'll be right back after this. Line of Adam, that is Dr. Michael.
That's
actually
me.
Dr. Drew, not around. Here's what's going on. Tony Hawk is going to be in here tomorrow night to talk about some video gamers.
And skateboarding.
Just give him your money. Would you? If you see him, just hand him money, please. No, he's a nice guy, but please, he's making way too much money for a guy skateboarding. He's a skateboarder.
Yep.
He's really supposed to be living out of a shopping bag and crashing on his friend's sofa.
That was the old days, Adam, in the 70s and 80s. Now the 90s and new millennium. Skateboarding
Christ.
Is big business. X Games. Tony Hawk is the man, and he deserves a lot of credit.
He's a nice guy. And
Great guy. And I never met him, though.
You know what I like about him? He's good at skateboarding, and he's rangy. You know, most of these guys are midgets. You know,
skateboarding's like gymnastics.
Like all that stuff, all that crazy stuff, the BMX stuff, the motocross stuff. Yeah. It just doesn't lend itself to have a 40-foot wingspan. It's like it's not good when you're long and gangly and stuff. But Tony Hawk has managed to overcome his height obstacle to cash in and make a lot of money. God, I'd like to know what that guy makes. I wish he'd run for governor or something. We could find out.
Hey, he just might.
All right. Well, Taproot in here tonight. We have Stephen and Jared from the band. We'll hear something else off the Welcome CD in the 11 o'clock hour. And Drew's coming back. I don't know when. He's in Toronto, and he's currently banging one of the Olsen twins. That's my prediction. We'll find out when he gets back. He may not feel comfortable talking about it on the air, but we'll see if we can get out of him.
Maybe they can work that into the plot of the movie.
It would be nice if they could organically do that. Yeah. All right. And does it matter which one you get, really?
I don't know. One smiles and one kind of has the closed mouth smile. So it depends on if you want to see the teeth or not.
I want the more dour one. It's a tougher nut to crack. All right. Where are we? Who's I going to talk to? Is Ashley? Jean? Really likes a boyfriend. Super mentally abusive. All right. Let's talk to this. Let's talk to Ryan. Ryan?
Hi.
Hey, you're 17. What's up?
Yeah. I like have a girlfriend, and like sometimes when I want to go out with my friends and stuff, she like gets really mad about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I really like her, so I just want to know if I could like change that about her.
How old is she?
She's my age, 17.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is she ever she like a trauma survivor? Everything good with her? Or does she come from a freaky family?
Yeah. Why is she's so really abusive normal. To you and so worried about you going out with your friends?
Hmm?
I really don't know. And, like, her family's normal. Like,
everything's normal?
Yeah.
All right.
Together and everything.
Here's the thing I think I've noticed from Drew's wife, who's, You know, Drew, something? Yeah, baby, yes.
What?
Here's the thing, and I keep telling Drew this, which is I believe, well, Michael, you can tell me what you think. You're a psychologist. I do believe that kids, here's what I think. I think pets, kids, and women want you to yank that chain every once in a while. They will spin out until the chain is yanked, and that then makes them feel more secure. Like if you tell a dog, Michael, tell me I'm right. As soon as we're off the air, if you let your dog just have run of the house, the dog will start chewing a hole in its own ass. Like it'll go nuts. It'll just start running around. They like the crate, believe it or not. Like they need to know that there's a wall behind them and that someone has given them rules.
About the caller and then his girlfriend is trying to set some limits with him, trying to get him into a situation where he's getting some discipline in his life, and she's helping that. But he's saying she's mentally abusive.
Right, but she is like saying you can't go out with your friends, or she is basically freaking out every time he attempts to do something that is well within the realm of normal behavior and acceptable behavior for guys. Is that right, Ryan?
Yeah, probably. But
All right, listen, if you've lost interest in your call, so have I.
No.
Have you ever tried? A lot of my friends, like, they'll work something out where, you know, you go out with your friends on Friday night and we'll go out with my friends on Saturday night, or we'll spend Saturday night together. Like, does anything like that work or anything?
Yeah, I think the main problem is that I have a...
Oh, nice. Oh, this is a bogus call. That's the code for butthole the size of a mason jar is the code for bogus call. But
is
that's
that right?
Good.
Is
yeah.
That right?
See, usually Drew is my he's my Constantine wire out on my perimeter. You see what I'm saying?
He can pick the ones that are bogus.
He keeps them. That's right. That's all right.
Really?
Yeah. His question was too boring to be bogus, really. I mean, but then when we came back to him, he kind of lost interest in it. Yeah, but let's just talk about it. Here's why I don't care about bogus calls. A, I leave at midnight. If I now had to leave,
right,
if I had to leave at 12:08, I would track this guy down and put a sprinkler key up his ass and just kill him. I would. But now, bring him on. Bring all the bogus calls you like. I'm leaving at midnight. I don't care if I help anyone. I'm leaving at midnight. That's it.
That's right.
So that's number one. Number two, though, it does get you on to topics that you might talk about anyway.
Absolutely.
It's
right.
Not for
right.
him, maybe for someone else. But I do believe that women sometimes they're chaotic and they just want to joust. They just want to go at it, and everything becomes an argument because that's the only way they can relate to a
male. Right,
everything
becomes a control issue, and they need to be in super control, right? And that may be related to previous sort of upbringing issues, family of origin, those types of things that I can understand, some trauma and so on.
I have found, I'll give the male and female version. The females, you need to tell them, listen, I'm going out with my friends, I'm not doing it, we're not going to a strip club, we're playing some cards, I'll be back at midnight, relax. If you can't handle that, you can't handle a relationship. They almost like that. It makes them feel more secure. The male version of this is when the guy's freaked out that the chick's like going out, seeing a dude, like dancing with their friends. What about the guys? Women need to tell guys every once in a while, listen, I'm with you because I want to be with you. If I didn't want to be with you, I wouldn't be with you. And relax. You're being insecure now and it's ugly looking. And if you keep this up, we won't be together. That's the two versions. So you can all work on that.
It's pretty accurate.
Right. They got to work out their relationship. They got to figure out their individual differences. And if someone's having some major control issues, it could really stem from some previous issues that they need to deal with. Or maybe their partner, like you said, Adam, earlier, does have some discipline problems. They're going out a lot. They need a little bit of reeling in and setting some appropriate limits. But when he's saying mentally abusive, I got to worry about that. And some people do have high levels of control that just drive people, you know.
Yeah, and if your butthole's the size of a mason jar, I mean, that's something
got major
to focus
problem,
on as well.
Actually, on the topic, Jared's is, as a matter of fact.
Mason, I heard it was just regular jelly. I heard it was peanut butter size.
Yeah,
I didn't know
a little
it was
more peanut
jar.
Butter.
We actually named it after Gary, Indiana.
Yeah.
It's that big.
Well, actually, just because the smell that it emits smells a lot like the city of Gary, Indiana.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, we've driven through there a few times, and everyone looks at me, and I was like, it wasn't me, it's the city, it's industry.
What, they do, like, a lot of hog farming out there or something?
It's all the industrial stuff. That's why Michael Jackson's so nuts.
It's always, I get accused of this on road trips myself, although usually, we're not in Indiana, it's just me. Janine?
Yeah?
You're 15. And by the way, the caller we had earlier who I was making fun of with his girlfriend washing downstairs has dropped off. So that's why we're not getting back to him. But Janine has a question for the band. Janine?
Oh, yeah. Hey, Jared. Hi, Steve.
Hello. Hi, Janine.
I'm going to see you guys on Thursday.
Cool. Are you excited?
Hmm?
Are you excited?
Yes, I'm very excited.
Good. We are too.
Oh, yeah. Jared, you have to check your email now. Because you haven't checked in it lately.
Did you email me?
Yes.
Okay. Is there anything you needed to tell me on the email that you want to express to me now?
She's 15. That's what she wanted to say.
What you call it? I always wanted to ask you, Steve, how did you come up with the song Breathe?
That was just a, I don't even remember how I came up with that. I basically took a couple songs that we scrapped that had... similar vibes, kind of dealing with wanting to change the bad things in life, the routines and the constant drinking and, the bad things of the road and the lifestyle and trying to work through it to find a better way to be productive,
Hey, Janine.
Yeah?
Is this an all-ages show Thursday?
What? Yeah. Yeah.
You sure?
So.
How are you getting in? You got a fake ID?
Nah.
All right.
My friends bought me my tickets. So
they bought you tickets. Who are you going with?
My friend Vanessa, Erica,
Oh, yeah. Hey, good girls.
Yeah.
It's quite,
no, they meet you at the Disturbed show?
They know me as Ace, though. They don't know me as Adam. Tell them Ace said hi, right?
All right.
Some thanks.
Mike knows Vanessa.
Oh, okay. Was it, you're calling from Northridge. It was about 170 there today?
Yeah. It was really hot today.
He couldn't ask your dad to move the house to hell so that she could have a little relief?
No, couldn't do that.
All right. But in miserable Northridge, right?
Yeah.
Good.
Really
okay.
Much.
So
come
miserable.
Say hi at the show. We'll see you there.
Oh, it is so goddamn hot in that godforsaken valley. I used to work at a cabinet shop in Chatsworth, and it was just... And they, you know, they have, do they have swamp coolers in Michigan? Who invented the swamp cooler? I want to kick this guy's ass.
Yeah.
That swamp cooler is so you never have to get air conditioned because you have swamp coolers.
Right.
But swamp coolers don't make a goddamn difference. It's like a constant humming that goes on. It's like you have tinnitus. You're not 1 degree cooler. You lose your hearing eventually.
You think something's happening, but it's really not.
You do. It's like, you want me to turn the swamp cooler on? Yeah, yeah. After 5 years, I open a closet. There's a guy just standing there going, like, that's the swamp cooler? It's a retard in the closet? Nothing goes on with this swamp cooler. It's a little squirrel cage that's on the roof of these industrial buildings. Like,
right. With a couple of ice cubes, the guy's like walking on or something.
It does zero. It does zero. But here's why I think a swamp cooler should be outlawed, because you then don't have to get air conditioning. Like, no one would build a cabinet shop in an industrial center in Chatsworth without putting air conditioning in it, except for there's a swamp cooler, which only costs about $800 as opposed to the $4,000 for the air conditioning. Mm-hmm. So we'll just use that, but that doesn't work.
So it's a false sense of security.
Yes,
and you
it
feel
is.
Like
yes,
you got,
it is.
Similar thing happened to me growing up. My dad bought, like, this really tall TV antenna so we could get over this one hill so we could get, like, 12 channels instead of 5 or whatever.
No. Right.
And then that was his excuse our whole lives not to get cable.
No. Yeah. You don't,
so
yeah.
I didn't
you
see MTV until I was in college.
Let me tell you what a loser.
Oh, really?
My dad had a portable swamp cooler that he
a
got
portable
from
one,
Sears.
Really?
Yeah. This
from Sears? Sears
a
had
retard.
Those?
Oh, my God. This. My dad had a... Okay, so this thing is a sheet metal coffin. It's about half the size of a coffin. It's, you know, it's 3 foot by 3 foot, and it stands about 4 foot high and has wheels on it. It's all sheet metal with the wood grain painted
into it.
All class.
Yeah.
Classy guy.
Right.
Roll that
the
thing,
wheels make it too,
roll
man.
That in right right into the living room on the burnt orange shag carpet in the dump in North Hollywood. Dump a pitcher of water in the drawer in the bottom and then fire it up. Of course, the water would evaporate in like 15 minutes unless you're walking back and forth or you put a hose on it or something. Like, couldn't just get the window unit? Couldn't another $8? Live like a human being?
That's right.
All right. Oh, man, are we late? We got to take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Michael. Dr. Michael filling in for Dr. Drew.
How you doing?
I already like him better.
Good.
Not only professionally, but personally and sexually.
Well, I was hoping the sexual thing wouldn't come up. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'll hold back now.
Please. We don't have to act on it unless you come back tomorrow. If you're not, then we got to move. You know what I'm saying? Are you in here? Is this it for you?
You know, I don't know. If I'm asked, I'll certainly be happy to come back.
All right. Well, we'll see how it works out. Play your cards right.
Yeah,
you swallow, you come back.
No. Oh, my God.
Steven and Jared, what did you think I was talking about?
We could put some video games out there and
finish
around,
your drink.
But,
that's what I'm saying. Steven and Jared are both here from Taproot. Welcome's name of the CD. And then we're going to hear another song off that in this break or this period or whatever they call the time that we're in right now. I don't know what it's called. Michelle, what is this called? Segment? No, that's like TV talk.
Segway.
No. Quiet down. Segway. Segment? Okay, that's it? I thought that was TV talk. Oh, just three segments? And then the breaks are the 4 minutes where I yelled at everyone during the about houses?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so in this segment, we hear something from Taproot, everybody. Let's see. This poor guy's been on hold for like almost an hour. Let me just talk to him. Michael?
Hey, how's it going, Adam?
Good. You're 19?
Yeah.
You got molested by your neighbor when you were 10. Now you're not sure if you're gay or not.
Well, I was molested twice, actually, but...
How old was your neighbor at the time?
He was in his 30s, late 30s. And it wasn't just him, it was him and his partner. And they molested me and his son.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Him and his partner, meaning his gay partner, or he was an attorney? Because that's worse. Worse than pedophile.
Yeah,
It was ever brought up to the authorities, did you report this?
Well, I didn't want to because when it happened, he had threatened, well, his son was a good friend of mine, and he had threatened to do some bad things to him if I didn't play along.
To his own son?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so this guy sounds, yeah.
It wouldn't be as bad as if, like, I couldn't let him just take it.
Something
bad would have happened.
All right. So this guy sounds despicable.
He was a complete a-hole.
Right. Now you know where... did you move out of your house? He's not still your neighbor, is he?
No, actually. He had died about a year and a half after the molestation started.
That's great. What happened? God struck him down?
No, he killed himself.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Sounds pretty serious. What about his partner? Because I'm still pretty concerned that he may be molesting other children.
I have no idea.
See somebody and report this.
I don't know, but he had killed himself because he had found out that he was HIV positive.
Oh, really? Oh, well, wait a minute.
And
hold on a second. I got a little bogus vibe to this whole thing. Again, you guys, you're greenhorns. You don't know what's going on.
Right.
I hate to say it, but I really wish Drew was here for about 10 seconds, and then he'd have to leave immediately. But
you could probably fish that one out a little bit better, trying to figure out if this guy's...
He's good, because he doesn't get high. You know, I've been high a lot, you know. I can't hear. Drew's never been high in his life, so, you know, he's like, I recognize this guy's voice from 9 years ago. And I'm like, who's that dude?
you mean for previous shows?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, he knows. Michael?
Yeah, I know you think it's bogus, but it's just really difficult to talk about. I've only told one other person about this, and it's...
That's not why I think it's bogus, but... So he died of AIDS.
Well, he killed himself when he found out.
Because he had AIDS, and his partner presumably has AIDS or had AIDS.
Yeah, right? I don't know.
And then what about the danger to you? You've been tested?
Yes, I was tested, but before, like... I didn't want to tell my parents because I was afraid my dad would kill him and then he'd have to go to jail or something.
Right, all right.
So I didn't say anything.
All right, but you don't have AIDS.
No.
Okay.
There was a period where I thought I did and I didn't want to tell my parents because if I did, I didn't want them to disown me or anything.
They're not going to disown you for being victimized. Have you got any counseling?
I'm seeing a therapist right now.
That's good.
Have you been able to be honest with your therapist?
I'm getting to the point where I think that I can trust him now. It's just
a trust
thing.
So your question is you're gay and you want to know if it's because of the trauma that you suffered at the hands of your horrible neighbor or if that's just the way God made you?
No, I just don't. I mean, I don't know if I'm gay or not. I mean, I've been with a couple guys, but that was because I was being molested. And,
What about as an adult? I mean, do you feel sexual attractions towards men or towards women or both?
I see men as more like a sex object, but I see women like a normal heterosexual male would see women.
Wait a minute.
You're a little
confused.
I'm not
sure if you can do both. Yeah. You gotta declare a major.
I know.
When you masturbate, what do you think of?
It just depends.
Well, but you do think of guys sometimes.
Sometimes.
All right. Well, let's just go with gay for now. All right? But here's the deal. It doesn't matter. Whatever you are is what you are.
That's right. And the things that happened in the past, you need to work through your therapist. You need to be honest with them about those particular issues.
Yeah. I mean, here's what I've learned from doing this show. Seems like a lot of people that are gay because somebody got hold of them and did something weird to them, or they just got weird domineering moms that freaked them out. Either way, though, you're just as gay as the guy who tried to blow the doctor when he came out of his mom. You're as gay. I have some gay friends that actually attempted to perform oral. They went. They came out of their mom's vagina. They gave like a. They gave like a yuck. It was the last vagina they ever wanted to see, and they went right for the doctor's groin with their mouth. Okay,
so you're saying some are born with this, some are developed through some sexual experiences and otherwise nature nurture debate.
It's out the window now. The gay community does not like the fact that gays can be formed in the basement with their uncle. Yeah, they hate that idea. Then it makes it a choice somehow, and it makes them bad. It doesn't matter. Look, if you want, if you have a craving for guy's penis, that's your thing, and I'm not going to question you. I don't care what the origins of it are.
Right.
I think anyone who's listening, if you like guys, you like guys. That's right. Doesn't matter what happened. And by the way, all the therapy in the world doesn't really erase that part.
No, and I don't think people should get therapy to change that part, and they should be honest with who they are as individuals, and they should work through the stigmas associated with being gay or otherwise.
The only effective method I've found for the gay man getting rid of his cravings is to open the Bible and then slap it shut on his semi-erect penis, just pow, like the movie clappers, you know, just boom, and it like Leviticus is good. Old Testament strong. Yeah. Just you got to get a little wood going, because if it's too flaccid, it'll take the punishment all day long. You know, but if you're too hard, it's kind of an offense to God. So be sort of leathery, and then just pow as hard as you can slap that thing together. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This where you get the advice on this show that other shows are too scared to talk about, but they all know about this technique. Believe you me, as Michael, as a therapist, you've talked about it with your clients many times. Yes, yes. Jackie,
yeah.
You were acquaintance raped by your future dorm neighbor,
and now
you got to see the guy.
Yeah.
And this happened how long ago?
During the first half of the second semester of last year, so like in February.
So yeah, it's the third quarter. That was 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Okay, you say that. And what happened? You went on a date, or it wasn't even a date?
Like, we were friends, and we'd been hooking up, and I was really drunk, and he was supposed to walk me upstairs, and he took advantage of me.
But you had been hooking up.
We had hooked up twice before.
But you just...
Or once.
Like,
no, we'd only hooked up once before that.
One time. You just made out?
Yeah.
And you didn't go that far with him?
No.
And then, so did you report him?
No.
Why not?
Because we were really good friends, and he came and talked to me and told me it was just a physical thing and that it wasn't a big deal.
Buy that?
Yeah.
Well, were you complaining? I mean, when it happened, were you resisting? Were you telling him to stop?
Yeah, I told him to stop, and then he did. But
once you told him to stop, he did stop.
He did stop, yeah.
But you still consider that you were raped?
Yeah.
Okay. Why?
Because I was a virgin. I had never had sex before. I didn't want to have sex with him, and he was my friend. I trusted him to take me home, and.
But
we're hooking up, and all of a sudden he's inside me, and was not.
Yeah, but hold on a second. I know everyone just supposed to call everything rape all the time, but this doesn't sound like rape. I mean, you did not want to have sex with him, but unless you convey that to him before he's having sex with you,
I did tell him I didn't want to have sex with him.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did.
And you told him to stop before he entered you.
No, I didn't expect him to enter me.
Next thing you knew, that's what he was doing.
I kept passing out. I was so drunk.
Yeah, it's actually called date. Yeah, it's actually called date rape. You were taking advantage of it. Oh. It happens pretty frequently.
I didn't know you were that ripped.
Yeah, no, I was so trashed. I couldn't walk upstairs. Right. He would have literally had to carry me upstairs.
All right. So then the next day he apologized.
No. He came to me and told me that. Because I wasn't talking to him, so he waited like a day or two and then came and found me one day and was like, I don't understand why you're not talking to me. And he's like, and I never told anyone what happened. Worried that I was going to tell people. And really
he really should be. And you got a lot of unresolved issues about this. You don't know how to deal with them afterwards. You really feel like you've been violated. I mean, you're really in a tough spot.
Well, what happened with you two, though? I mean, you were like great friends and you were hooking up. How come... no boyfriend girlfriend stuff.
Because he's an ass.
I know. This is pre-rape, though. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, all guys are assholes eventually. There's no... Every woman who's married to any man, ex-husband, current husband, ex-boyfriend, whoever, yeah, of course he's an asshole. Like, my grandmother says about my grandfather. He's been dead for 5 years. But before that, you guys are hanging out. You're thick as thieves. You're making out. How come no boyfriend-girlfriend action?
Because I guess he just wasn't... down for that. Like, I guess he just wanted.
Oh, okay. So you liked him, and he took advantage of you, basically. And okay. So look, in terms, so legally,
I don't want to press charges. Or anything.
You don't want to press charges. You don't want to pursue it.
I just,
all right.
I want to know how to deal with him socially.
Well,
I run in the same group of friends. Like,
yeah.
How can I?
It's not going to. It's totally,
I mean, that's a bigger problem than we can deal with.
Easy.
Yeah, that's a bigger problem than we can deal with here. I think there are college campuses, counseling centers there. You can go and talk to somebody how to resolve this issue, your emotions associated with it. And you may change your opinion on what you want to do with it. But
Just steer clear of the guy. I mean, you have to sort of tactfully just do it. And then 6 months goes by, and it's like 1,000 years when you're 19, and then you forget about it.
Yeah. You seem pretty angry towards him, though.
Yeah.
Well,
and maybe he deserves – I mean, maybe you need to tell him off. Maybe you got something – bubbling up inside of you. Maybe you need to get something off your chest. I mean, maybe you should write him a good long letter and tell him that you don't appreciate what he did to you and blah, blah, blah.
I'm just a little worried about new freshman girls with him.
Right.
And seeing him at parties and seeing him with some really drunk girl that...
Yeah.
That's right. Now, this is no substitute for therapy,
like,
or appropriate referral for you.
Where do you go? San Diego State?
Or, like,
you go to San Diego State?
No.
UC San Diego?
No.
Another school in San Diego?
No.
Oh.
I'm home for the summer.
Oh, you're home for the summer.
All right. What school do you go to?
I go to Yale.
Yale?
Yeah.
This is a Yale man?
Mm. Yeah.
They got really good college counseling centers, and you ought to go there and talk about that. It's very, very common on campus.
They don't really.
Really?
Yeah. They're not as good as you would hope they would be.
Okay. So
I'm really
surprised. Jackie, if you really feel like you have unresolved business with this guy, why don't you write him a horrible long letter? And then never send it and all that stuff.
I think at some point you got to confront him. Anytime the situation happens,
you never feel any better though when you confront somebody, because they always just go, I hear what you're saying and I accept what you're saying and accept your anger, and you're like, now I'm gonna kill you. I wanted to yell at you before, now I have to hit you. I'm feeling your punches. My orbital socket is being crushed by your thrusting fist. It's always so good. Now I need to stab you.
Well, there's
the projectile enter my body and tear my innards apart.
There's always going to be a party that's really validating your inner feelings, that you're doing the right thing by bringing up those issues. What she's doing is hiding from it. She's trying to suppress it until it's a better time. Maybe even at some point, not really being honest about how it's affecting her. And I'm sure it will. And I know there's a college counseling center that she can go to. If not, she should obviously seek some outside help to deal with that.
But let me give you a sad reality. Maybe not Yale, but certainly in your hometown of San Diego and many other colleges, wherever it's hot.
Right.
Here's the thing. Wherever there's a college where the average temperature is over 72 degrees year-round, there's trouble. And every guy on that campus who's 19, if he's got some chick he was macking out with a couple times before and is now walking her loaded ass back to her dorm room on a Friday night, and he's had some boozes too, this is every guy. This is about every guy on campus. I mean, I'm not saying that to try to paint a horrible picture of guys, but 19-year-old guys with drunken chicks who they have had some experience with are going to go for this. And I don't necessarily think they're rapists. I don't say what they do is right.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's rape, but it sounds like it could possibly be date rape. She needs to talk about it further.
Well, girls, you got to be careful about getting juiced up. It's not your fault. But on the other hand, let's try to prevent this from happening again and be realistic. You know,
absolutely. She can certainly learn something from this.
All right.
And I think she's worried about other freshman students as well.
She's pissed. All right. And you know what? You know what, too? Now I'm going to sound like a huge prick, but she liked this guy. And the fact that she was a friend, he was a friend, and she dug him, and he screwed her over and basically used her. And there's a lot of anger that probably comes from that, too.
That's right. Date rape has special issues because it's someone you actually know. You really expect them to be friends with you, to not violate you or hurt you, and it actually ends up being somebody that does that to you instead of a stranger, and that's most folks think of rape. So date rape on college campuses is a really, really big issue, and try and prevent that by being safe, making sure that you're not in difficult situations. And
If I have a daughter, I send her to I sent her to college.
Yeah, you sent her to Yale.
Shark
you want to be taken care of.
But. Shark cage. Shark cage with holes in the feet and handles so she can lift it up and walk into class. And the cage will be set down. I'll get a permit first so she can sit in, like, the handicap section of the class, you know, where they pull the chairs up. She's going to need a lecture room. Then the party, just more shark cage. And they can hand her wine coolers and stuff through there. She can hear the music. She can even dance a little bit.
But no access.
No access. Unless she can push her ass up against the bars. Wait a minute.
Well,
I'm going to work this out. I'm going to work this out.
That's a medieval plan.
Now, I'm going to make it out of Lexan now. I'm not going to make it out of the aluminum bars. I'm making Lexan. Go. Nice, clear, hard, ballistic plastic. Right. Put some air holes in the top.
Right. You're a builder, so I'm pretty sure you'll be able to make a containment strategy there.
I'm going to work this one out. Yeah. All right, let's hear a Taproot song. That's what I think our plan should be. Yeah, we queued up. Who's engineering, by the way? Well, we got Michelle out here, but who's out at Westwood One? Ken? All right. This one is called Everything. Taproot, everybody, off of Welcome. Stephen
and
Jared
are
both here.
Thank you.
Michael, Dr. Michael, is in here filling in quite nicely for Dr. Drew.
What's happening?
I think if I close my eyes, I could probably think it was Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
Voice.
It's like
Thanks, appreciate it.
Yeah, same thing. Except for Drew's been doing it for 20 years. He should be better. Michael's just as good as he is.
I don't know about that. Thanks, guys.
I know, but I know. I know. All right, but he's on one of the Olsen twins. Probably just got off and got on the second one out there in Toronto.
He's on Ashley now.
No, he's a passionate man. He's a passionate. He doesn't know which one he's on. He's like, who's I? Which one? Okay, who cares? It's quite there. Let me just run the Full House rerun and hold stuff.
Oh.
All right. We, you know, it was a little bit confusing, actually, with that Full House show. Is I was talking to someone about it, and I said, you know, the twins from the Full House show, the kid looks like the kid from the twins. And she was like, my wife was like, well, no. See, there weren't twins on the show because Mary Kate and Ashley didn't play twins on the show. They played the same person.
Yeah, right.
And I'm like, no, but later on, there was two boy twins that came onto the show. The two little blonde-head kids were actual twins on the show. So not only were there twins on the show playing twins, but there were twins who were playing one person. Hugely confusing. Thank God I got the box set and the DVD and got the whole goddamn mess straightened out.
I'm glad you did too, Adam.
Yeah, yeah. All right. We'll take a little break and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Michael.
Who's having?
Taproot is the name of our lovely, lovely band who's in a studio tonight. Tony Hawk will be in here tomorrow night. Talking about skateboarding, I'm imagining. And Tony, great guy. Nice guy. Good guy. Good people. He's good people, really. Good
awesome tricks. Awesome tricks, aerials. This guy's got it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's good on that skateboard. Oh, he's made so much money.
He can do a lot of stuff on the video game.
Oh, yeah.
I never tried the video
game. He can
game.
Float
cool.
in the air for like 30 seconds and just twirl and twirl and twirl and hold his skateboard out and all this stuff.
He runs over cop cars and stuff. Goes
cool.
up freeway overpasses on oncoming traffic. That's great. Yeah. It's a great message to send to the kids. Yeah. You can make it onto that semi-truck if you could just clear the railing on the overpass.
That's right.
these tricks you're doing these days are absolutely insane.
It's amazing.
They ought to come see me.
And it's amazing. What are you doing? You on a skateboard?
No.
Oh, you do some surfing.
No, it's
right?
It's absolutely insane. So, you know.
It's amazing what they do on bikes. It's amazing what they do on skateboards. It's amazing what they do on motorcycles. Like when I grew up, if you got in the air and you could lean your motorcycle 3 degrees to the left and then straighten it out while you were 14 inches off the ground, you were hip.
Wow.
You were hip. Yeah. Right. Now you got to get off the bike. You have to get off the bike. You have to perform oral on a prostitute, and then you got to get back on the bike before you land.
Right, absolutely.
It is insanity. Right. And by the way, is anyone like if you got a 9-year-old kid and he's into dirt bikes or BMX and he's like, yeah, I want to do some freestyle. You're like, you are gonna. What can you do?
Can you do now? You gotta like.
Are
do
you
some,
kidding?
Yeah.
You gotta get 70 feet of air.
And go
number two and then land. Like, you can't. Your hands are off the bars already. Your feet are in front of you. It's. Oh, all right. Yeah. All right. Where are we? Where am I going here? Female pal tricked him into having sex. Yeah, that sounds good. Ryan?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yeah.
She tricked you into having sex?
Yeah, dude.
How do you get tricked into having sex, Ryan?
Huh?
How do you get tricked into having sex?
Oh, because, like, she was one of my good friends. But I knew her for about a year and a half. And she tried to come on to me a couple times, but I just told her, you know, I wasn't interested because I really wasn't attracted to her.
Mm-hmm.
And one time at a party, it was, like, not even 3 weeks ago, I got really drunk because she was sober.
Okay.
And she tagged me or whatever, you know, but.
So she took advantage of you in a way.
Yeah, dude. And then she was saying, everybody's saying that she's pregnant now. And I haven't talked to her lately, but, I mean, when I would talk to her, she said she was pregnant. And, I mean I'm trying to go.
You talked to her, and she said that she was pregnant to you?
Yeah, she told me she was pregnant. I mean, and it was nothing of my fault. I wasn't even aware of it.
Well, did she say it was pregnant with you, Ryan?
What? Yeah, pregnant by my baby.
By your baby. So your kid knocked her up? Your infant got her pregnant?
What
did he do, crawl up in her, or did he actually have sex with her?
Nah.
Okay, no, that's cool.
Yeah, but I'm trying to go to the Marines.
You're about ready to go to the Marines.
Yeah, and then I'm gonna go after my role model, Adam, dude, because you're like the best.
Yeah, it's the scary part of the job. Yeah, well, you got to kill a lot of foreigners. You want to be like me, son.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do in the Marines?
I don't know. I just want to go into infantry. I think.
Smart.
Yeah.
You get shot at first. Don't sit in the back and monkey with a computer.
Well, I like fighting, so.
You like fighting. Good. All right.
Yeah, but I don't know, like, Can I just, like, I don't know, this kid's not my responsibility because, I mean, I'm not even aware of the situation.
Right.
I have my life all planned out and everything, you know.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, can I just, like, leave or do I have to, like, do
that?
Okay,
let me explain something. You not being aware of something doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Like,
if
you run a red light and you didn't know the intersection had a camera in it, doesn't mean you don't get a ticket in a month.
Right. Yeah. Remember, from your problems doesn't solve them either.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, but let's save this trite platitude.
So, like, should I, because I was planning on just, like, skipping everybody, like, everybody, I don't know, just, like.
Okay, when is your enlistment date?
September, like, 17th.
Okay, so here's the deal. If it is your child, you have some responsibility toward that child. Mm-hmm. Even if she stole your penis in the middle of the night and used it for sex and then gave it back to you.
Like, send it, like, child support and stuff?
Yeah, that part. Yeah.
Is that what you're fearful about?
No, really? I'm fearful about it just screwing up my life, you know, because I wouldn't even have sex with my girlfriend unprotected like that, even
really?
If she's on a pill, because I'm trying to, you know, I want to be a comedian. I want to get in the Marines and stuff. You know?
Go in the Marines.
Well, I want to go in the Marines so I can get
buffed. All good comedians start off by being infantrymen in the Marines.
No, I just want to get buffed.
All of them. All the greats. Right, Dangerfield did that way. My partner Jimmy was in the Marines, staff sergeant for a number of years. Seinfeld, all of them.
Talk about getting shot down.
All of them.
You guys rock, though. All you guys do. I'm telling you.
Thanks. Hey, listen, Ryan.
Yeah.
Ryan, here's what I can't figure out with Ryan. It doesn't seem semi-concerned about the kid, but not really, and doesn't think he has any responsibility toward the kid because she initiated the sex. Here's the thing. Go ahead and join the Marines. Do what you want to do. Get out of the Marines. Become a successful comedian.
And then talk about it in your comedian routine.
That's right. But if she says she's pregnant and it's your child and it's a few months from now, eventually there's going to have to be a DNA test to decide if you are the father. And if you are, in fact, the father, then you have certain financial responsibilities toward the child for, you're 18 now. Another 18 years.
That's right.
That's how it works.
He got intoxicated. He got loaded, and he got possibly taken advantage of. He had sex with her, and now he has to take some responsibility. He's got to talk with her about what she actually wants to do. Maybe she doesn't want anything to do with him. Maybe she doesn't want to have the baby. So he's getting a little reactive here, and maybe he needs to settle down, figure out what he wants to do.
Right. All right. Let's talk to Amy, who's trying to become emancipated. Amy?
Hello?
You're 16?
Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm curious because I've been, like, really living in this kind of crappy situation for a while, and I thought you had to be 17 to get emancipated, and I guess you had to be only 14. And I'm trying to do it, but I don't know, like, do you have to have your parents' consent?
What are you getting away from?
Everything. I can't do anything. You know, it's like I pretty much support myself in everything I do, but I can't, like, have a normal life. I can't go out. Like,
well, wait a second. Do you have a job?
Yeah.
All right.
I have a union job. I have my own car. I pay for everything. I pay for my own phone.
All right, but hold on a second. What union?
The Food and Commercial Workers Union.
Food? So, you work at a market.
Yeah.
All right, so that's a good job. You get good money, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so, but here's what I understand. Your parents let you have a job. They let you go out of the house every day and go to that job. Then they let you drive your car with your cell phone over to your job every day. I mean, maybe they're a little uptight when you get home, but super uptight parents don't let their kids leave the house. You're working.
Yeah, exactly. That's so I can get out.
I know, but you're helping me make my point. I mean, how many hours a week do you work?
Oh, God, lately I just got suspended. So, like, lately I haven't had any hours, and I'm home, like, an awful lot. My stepdad doesn't have a job.
Why did you get suspended?
I didn't report to work because I was a little unsure about my schedule, and I didn't go in or call anything, but I got suspended.
All right, hold on a second. Let me explain what happens on this show. People start off. It's just the same ones who went to jail. It's like, oh, so why is your boyfriend in prison? No, he did it for nothing, man. To do nothing. It's like, really?
It's a good impression.
Just nothing? They just came over. That's right, man. It just took him. Really? Eventually get out of him. It's a parole violation.
Right.
And then eventually find out he killed someone like 4 years ago.
It's right. Not adding up.
Right. Now, parents are just uncool. She wants emancipation, but it's like, well, they let her work She buys a car. Okay, she takes care of herself. Fine. Now she got suspended from work and starts off with a little confusion with the schedule. But model employees who have a little confusion with the schedule don't get canned immediately. And it's starting to maybe turn out that maybe there's more here than meets the ear. Amy?
Yeah.
All right. So your stepdad, who you hate, right?
Well, we used to have lots of problems. I don't know. I've been ignoring him, so we used to fight all the time.
You do.
So is that why you want to be emancipated?
Well, that's how it started out. I mean, I've lived like separate places, like off and on for a while, and then my mom pretty much like gave me some, like promised me a whole bunch of things if I came back home, and I did.
Mm-hmm.
And she just pretty much took away like a lot of my friends. I wasn't allowed to do anything. Like everything that she said she would do, like she just pretty much went back on.
I had the same deal with my stepmom, except for it was, if you leave, I'll give you a bunch of stuff. And then I left and didn't get it. I heard the door just slam.
Oh, my God. You were tricked, Anna.
Yeah. Hey, outside the house, man, there's a new Harley out there and an El Camino. It's got raised white letters on the tires. Go ahead. That slam, lock, curtains drawn. Shh. Heard a shush in my dad. Amy. You hate your mom, you hate your stepdad. This is going to be tough. The whole emancipation thing is going to take more time probably than it's worth. And I do think your parents have to go along with it, or a judge or an arbitrator or something has to hear the case. It doesn't sound like they're going to hear enough here. And it's not like you're some child star who's having some financial dispute with your manager father. It just doesn't seem like it's going to work.
Right, they would want to get married, and you have an adult-like role, and you can make some decisions for yourself.
Well, what about, are you on summer vacation?
Yeah, but I can't go anywhere.
I understand. And you start school when?
Second.
All right, and they let you go to school? They go back to school in a month or whenever?
Yeah. Okay, that's my life. It's school and work.
So be it.
Yeah.
Well, come on. I mean, I can't live my normal teenage life. I can't even I have to be back by 10.
Okay, and listen. Amy.
Sounds like your parents are being pretty strict with you, and you're going to appreciate it in the future, so.
Yeah. Well, maybe not. But look, here's the deal. We're in the middle of August, right? She's going back to school in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to – here's the thing. Parents are horrible. Like that's why you don't want to see them once you become an adult. Because you realize, who are these idiots?
What did they do to me?
You want me to do what? Dinner? When? Are you high?
Right.
Every time I look at my parents, I'm like, who are you? What? I can't believe you two were in charge of me. I wouldn't let you guys raise a goddamn iguana. I had to live with you two idiots for 18 years? I should have killed myself when I was 14. I stand by it. It would have been a good move.
When you had the chance.
No, I should have done it. Then you get out and you realize, okay, but what do you got to do in the meantime? You got to sort of suck it up. You get your friends. You go to school. You get involved with everything at school. You play your sports. Do all that. You don't fight it. And there's not a teenage girl's ever called this show that likes her dad, stepdad, mom, stepmom. Right. All teenage girls hate their parents from age 13 to age 19. Right. That's it.
All right, something got to work out of, and if she can't handle it there, it's likely to move on to other places of her life.
Right.
And it's time for her to kind of take the discipline, understand what's going on, and handle
it. You got to suck it up.
Again, she's not that bad off. I mean, she's got a car. She can go places. As long as she's back by 10, she can, it sounds like pretty much she's free to, from 2:30 when she gets out of school till 10, she can do whatever she wants.
Listen, I guarantee they pulled a roach out of her pocket six months ago or something when they're doing the laundry, and now she's on restriction. All right. We're going to take ourselves a little break. Taproot here. Dr. Michael here. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Michael. Tom. Filling in quite nicely for Dr. Drew. Seamlessly.
Thanks,
effortlessly. Dad. Dovetailing in where Dr. Drew used to be. I forgot what Drew looks like. it's like when the kid has the evil Arab dad who takes him out of the country and hasn't seen his mom since he was 3, and now he's 11. He can't even remember what his mom looks like. That's what it's like with Dr. Drew, except for the Arab part and the 8 years part. But other than that, same story. Exactly the same. Taproot is here tonight, and Stephen and Jared are both here from the band. Welcome is the name of the CD. They're going to be at the Henry Fonda Theater And that's coming up on Thursday. And then they're going to be in San Francisco on Friday. And Sunday, they're going to be in Portland at the Roseland Theater. All right, let's see. We'll take a few more calls. Let me see who's been on hold the longest. Ashley, Ashley's been on hold for 116 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. Ooh, Ashley, she's 17. This may be one of the Olsons telling me to shut the Drew shooting a movie with the Olsen twins. Ashley?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. My question is, I was wondering if stress could actually cause you to miss your period.
Yeah.
Yeah, stress can cause a lot of things, but you might want to have a double check by your medical doctor. Maybe there's other reasons. Certainly you're stressed out. It can cause a lot of physiological reactions in your body, different psychological processes.
Okay.
So something to think about. I think you're on the right track.
Okay, all right. Yeah, because I wasn't sure because, yeah, a lot's been going on, and it's been like a month and like a month and a half, and I'm just like trying to figure out what happened. All right.
I mean, there's other reasons why you're missing your period as well.
You've been on hold for 116 minutes and 51 seconds, and you're done at minute.
Well, I mean, I have
39.
Like, well, I actually had two questions, but I mean,
all right. Well, we only have time for one, so we call, right. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, and then my second question, really quickly. I was just kind of curious when I'm like, I have no problem like getting a boyfriend. Like, I have one now, but it's weird because every time I'm with a guy. I'm mm-hmm. not really, like, I only want to, like, please him. I never want him to, like, touch me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always wondering, like, he's like, why won't you let me touch you? And I'm like, you know, I don't know, you know, I can't figure out why, but I'm all about, like, oh, what do you want? Like, I'll do what you want. And I find that kind of weird.
Did
what?
You learn that anywhere? From your parents?
And if so, where? Like, send my wife there.
I don't
to place or camp, like
it's actually a very common relationship developed. It's called codependency, or based your overall feelings on what other people are dealing with. There's just lack of assertiveness in your own lifestyle and your own beliefs and values, and so it's time for you to really stop that behavior and really figure out what's important to you and what you need.
Well, do you get to have sex? Yeah,
we've done it a couple times, and I did it because, you know, he wanted it, and I was like, this isn't fun, and, you know, I was like, what's going on with me? You know, I can't figure it out, but. Yeah, I don't enjoy anything if it has to do with, like, me, but, you know, I'm, like, getting off on, like, pleasing him.
Yeah.
Did you learn that anywhere? I mean, you never did.
Not that I know of.
Alcoholic parent?
Oh, no, not at all.
Yeah. You Asian?
No.
Did you have very strict or regimented parents?
Have I what?
Did you have strict or regimented parents that seemed to kind of, you needed to please them and you needed to do what they wanted and they need to be proud of you? And so this is really where it's coming from. It's time now you're going to college to start to stop that behavior and find out what you really want, what your values are. Because if you engage in a lot of that, it's just going to end up being a real pervasive problem over time. And you're going to get taken advantage of and you're really going to lose sight. And maybe you suffer from some type of depression or anxiety over time.
Do your parents always cracking the whip and wanting you to get better grades and never good enough?
Yeah, that's mom.
This is just an extension of that behavior.
All right, that's what's happening.
All right, thank you.
All right, listen, don't be mad at the guys, though.
Oh, no, I'm not. I never, not at all.
I know, but I don't mean mad, but I mean you can be resentful. What you can do is you got this energy toward your mom who had to make you perfect, and you have this energy for her, and then you get with a guy and you become very subservient, but then you start harboring resentment toward the guy too, as if he's making you do it when really he's just enjoying a nice BJ and the beer you got him 10 minutes ago. He thinks it's the best thing ever.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I actually have some female friends too who it seems like it's more of like a trust thing. Like they don't really want to let the guy do things to them until they trust him enough to, you know, maybe see them, you know, have an orgasm or experience pleasure or anything like that. So I think maybe the longer you're with a certain person, the more you trust them and, you know, that kind of thing, that maybe you might feel more comfortable.
Perfectionistic mom, though. It's a bad hand. Hey, Ashley?
Yeah.
Do you ever have an eating disorder?
No.
All right. Sometimes perfectionist moms can do that.
Yeah.
Right, what's also going on is a fear of intimacy, like we were alluding to earlier, that actually you can really not really develop a way to be in a relationship and have the duality and back and forth. And actually your partner will get a little frustrated with you as a result, too, that you're not really allowing him to be with you in a very intimate way. And at some point, that's really going to turn other people off.
After about 20 years, I get tired of the BJs. Doug, 2025.
Yeah.
Doug, you're 18.
Yep.
Your little brother is getting into drugs.
Right. It's a real simple question. I was at a 311 concert last night, and
mm-hmm. pulls out a joint. So okay. I asked him, I said, are you into anything else? And he revealed to me that he's doing drugs such as ecstasy and coke. Now, I was that age, you know, 3 years ago, and I was experimenting too.
Nah.
But my question is basically, should I say, look, if you're doing drugs, should I just kick your ass, you know, like beat him up and say, don't do this? Or
yes, you should physically assault him, possibly.
Well,
weapon.
If that would work, but it's not going to work. He needs to be honest with him about the kind of trouble he's in. He's using drugs that have high levels of severity and consequences for later life and even his current behavior. So you don't want to be caught, quote-unquote, holding the bag. And what that means is letting him get away with behavior. And he's, you know, in some way getting you to validate what's happening. You got to say it's not right, and maybe there are some problems he's trying to deal with, and he's thinking about using drugs. Maybe he's over-experimenting. I think you really got to be a bigger brother to him and let him know what's really going on. Going on and a set of
right. I mean, I try talking to him and stuff, but
and then he's got a bigger problem. If he's not listening to you, then I think you got to really think about some professional help.
What would your parents do if they found out?
I was at that age too, and I was experimenting just like he was. I want to give him that freedom, you know, because I eventually got off. And
is that what I asked? What about your parents? What would they do if they found out?
Well, they'd probably, you know, take the harder route and maybe try getting them some help, but I really don't think that it's bad.
Yeah, but listen, look, you don't want to be the man, but you got to tell them, look, I was your age, I did that, you know, whatever.
Sure.
It's a growing thing. But if there's ever any trouble with this, if I hear anything, if I see anything, I will tell. And I'm not telling it to bust you. I'm telling Dad, Mom, because I love you. You'll understand that one day. And really, I mean, at 14, yeah, everyone drinks a beer 14. And smokes a joint. Yeah, sure, why not? Little Mickey's Big Mouth in the park. It's all good. Kids are growing up so fast these days. Those crazy tricks they do on the bikes and the skateboards, out of control.
Maybe Tony that's Hawk, part of
tomorrow
it.
Night, everybody. Yeah. But starting to get into X and that kind
that
of
age,
stuff,
right.
That's you really should wait another 6 months before you start getting a lot of the X. No, that can be trouble. And he wants to be his older, cool brother, and he doesn't want to be the man.
Right.
So I think you give him a chance. And if he then crosses that line or he starts missing school or you find other stuff on him, then you draw the line. That's fine. And don't worry, by the way, what your kid brother thinks of you. As long as you can kick his ass, it's cool. I mean, you don't have to worry if he thinks you're a snitch because you ratted him out. You're looking out for him. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Well, that's the show, everybody. Thank Stephen and Jared for coming in here from Taproot. Welcome. Name of the CD. Go out and get it.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah.
You should, or God will strike you down. And I want to thank Michael for coming in here and doing a wonderful job.
Thanks, guys.
Dr.
Take care.
Drew's absence. Tony Hawk tomorrow night. And tomorrow night we have a gynecologist in here who's done the show a few times. He's a good guy. So we'll get into you and that part tomorrow night. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla. For Dr. Michael, saying mahala.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.